How does that Sesame Street song go? Who are the people in your neighborhood? Or from Jules Dassin, there are 8 million stories in the Naked City. Here's another version of that sentiment. One producer drives a cab around the valley and records some of the backseat confessions she hears. Here's the conversation.
When you're a cab driver, it all starts like this.
Hello.
Hello.
Regina?
Yeah.
When you're a cab driver with an accent, it goes on like this.
Where are you from? I hear your accent.
Afterwards, it takes all different directions.
My cousin lives in St. Petersburg, and we went to see her.
And the moment you hear something that clearly stands out among all this noise, you say,
"Can I record you?"
Sure.
No, it's okay.
My name is Regina Ravazova. I'm a cab driver and a radio producer. And now you're going to hear what I hear in my car. Drive with Gwen was short one. She was in a hurry to get on a plane that was supposed to leave soon, and I tried to get her to the airport as fast as I could. Somehow we switched the subject to her daughter, Blossom.
And she had plans, and she knew what she wanted.
Then, while trying to make a left turn, I heard my passenger saying,
"For some odd reason, she would hit that point of complete desperation late in the night."
"May I talk to both of you?" I asked.
"My name is Lawson. I'm 18 and I just graduated high school. So I started out high school and I had a goal of trying to fit in and just trying to be accepted. And I was playing volleyball, getting straight A's. And then it was about November and I got a back injury. I started getting super tired and I mentioned it to my mom. We thought, oh, maybe it's just from the mono I had the year before, no big deal. So we went to the doctor, and that was the first doctor of many, because they just couldn't figure out what was wrong.
You know, when your child becomes sick, and then when the answers aren't there, you feel helpless. And as each week turned into a month, turned into months, turned into years, I spent more and more time trying to find a new doctor, a different doctor.
I was terrified. We had no idea the severity of what was going on, if it was cancer or if it was something mild. So I really went from living a completely normal 14-year-old life to completely different.
A year past that, we realized we had to stop messing around. We had to go to the best doctors, and Mayo was our answer. You know, that was hopeful. Somebody's going to figure this out.
And within 2 days of being there, they diagnosed me with postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. It's a mouthful.
Like, she has no control over how her blood flows or how her stomach digests. She can't say, "Stomach, start digesting. Blood, start flowing." Those are the automatic things that your body's just supposed to do.
I kind of thought that that would be where things changed and when things would start getting better, but that is not what shifted things or turned things around, because there is no easy fix or pill or anything that they can really do to get you back to normal.
She was thinking it would be a doctor that would come and be the savior. It would be me or her dad or someone else, not her. I do recall her many times saying, "I can't do this anymore."
Until one night, I can remember, I was in so much pain. It was like the middle of the night. I couldn't even cry. I couldn't move. I was laying on the couch. And my mom was, she was across the room sitting in the chair. And I just remember, I did not know what to do. And so I just started praying. And in the midst of this overwhelming amount of pain, I felt peace.
Then it became just a part of our life. I mean, it was a part of our lives to just basically roll with the punches.
Before, it was like a hopeless kind of pain, and it was all-consuming. So physical, my entire body just felt like it was closing in. Same with mentally. It just felt like it was taking over my entire life, whether it had to do with friends or school, my grades, my social activities, so I was lost. And then I'd say after I found God and found faith, it didn't seem as hopeless, and the pain seemed to hurt less. I couldn't see the light at the end of the tunnel, but I had hope that there was one.
We didn't know whether she was going to be able to graduate from high school. There was even discussion at one point about her taking an extra year to go to school. But she was there. And I really didn't know if I'd be able to keep it together at graduation. To see her walk across that stage, you know, that was...
Because we walked through so much, we're so much closer. We're like best friends. And I think that's like weird for people because she's my mom. Even if she didn't have the answers, she was the person I confided in. And we would spend nights talking or hours spend in the doctors and where normally I would be at like volleyball practice or something like that.
I mean, I wouldn't wish this on anyone, but you know, we all have our unique path in life and we're all affected by that. I'm much more compassionate for people in any circumstance.
Once you feel the kind of pain so deep, you can also, it goes on the flip side too. I mean, you feel the happiness so much more. There's like a Bible verse and it's like the pain that you've been feeling can't compare to the joy that is coming. And I think that's just so true. And so, yes, it affects you. It also affects how much better things can be too.
These are the stories from people that live in your neighborhood, that shop in grocery stores near you, that pass you on the sidewalks, that ride in cabs next to you. This is Open Conversation, and I'm Regina Ravazova.
Regina Ravazova is a producer in Phoenix.